Jy luister na RSG Geldsaake met Money Web Potgoeie met gasheer Ryk van die Kerk.
Oceana is die grootste visserygroep in Suid-Afrika en sy wortels strek terug tot 1918 en dit is tans in Johannesburg en Namibië genoteer. Die groep het net minder as 4000 mense in sy diens. Dit besit 33 visserskepe, 8 vervaardigingsaanlegte en dit verkoop hulle produkte in 41 lande reg oor die wêreld. Die groep se kernbesigheid is die vang, verwerking en verspreiding van geblikte vis, vismeel, visolie, kreef, perdemakreel, inkvis en stokvis. Oceana se bekendste handelsnaam is Lucky Star blikkievis. Dan is daar ook ander handelsname soos Duybroek wat vismeel en visolie produseer en Blue Continent Products wat in vars vis spesialiseer in die groep. Die groepse markwaarde is sowat 8,6 miljard rand en dit is vergelijkbaar met maatskappye soos Adcock Ingram, Wilson Bailey Homes en Afrimat. Oceana het vandag winsyfers vir sy boekjaar tot einde September aangekondig. Die omset was 23% hoër op 10 miljard rand. Die wins spring met 75% tot 1,3 miljard rand en die direksie het 'n dividend van R4,35 per aandeel verklaar wat 26% hoër is as die vorige jaar. Neville Brink is die uitvoerende hoof. Neville, thank you so much for your time tonight. It's been a good year. Revenue is up by 23% and profits by 75%. What were the main drivers of this performance?
Yes, it has been a good year, and it's driven by, in particular, the two divisions. The Lucky Star division, which saw very healthy growth of the Lucky Star fish, 9% volume growth, which is quite unusual in the current market. Most of the FMCG companies are seeing a constraint in volume. We did take a small knock on our margin, but it was an acceptable knock. And the key for us was keeping the price affordable to the consumers. Our consumers, in particular, the South African consumers, are really struggling at the moment, and they're looking for value, and Lucky Star gives them that. And then the second division was our US division. We produce a fish called Manhaden, which gets produced into fish meal and fish oil, which goes into the aquaculture and the pet food market. And our oil in particular is very high in omega-3s and is used in the salmon farms, in particular the salmon farms in Scandinavia. And there's a massive shortage of oil in the world at the moment because of climate change and the El Nino effect on the Peruvian catch. They had to close their season. So with the shortage, we've seen a massive increase in oil value, and combined with the growth in the salmon farms, that's where our profitability came through this year. So two divisions did extremely well. Our wild caught division, which is the hake and the horse mackerel and the squid and lobster, had a tough season. The El Niño effect on our east coast of South Africa has seen a warming of the waters, and it did affect catch rates. Market's still very strong, but catch rates have definitely been affected.
Let's talk about Lucky Star, because it's a very, very well-known brand. You sold Lucky Star products to the value of 5.6 billion rand. That is a lot of money for one brand. How much pilchards are we talking about here?
We, in fact, sell 240 million cans a year, which translates into about 650,000 per day. So it is one of the largest brands. It was voted the number one township brand this year. And interesting, we did some research, and the research shows that 93% of homes in this country have a can of Lucky Star in their pantry. That means only 7% don't have it. Bulk of people have a can of Lucky Star, which is phenomenal. And part of the reason is because it's affordable, but also because it's non-perishable. So if you do have the unfortunate load shedding, which we all have, and your fridges don't work, it doesn't go off. And it has helped stimulate our sales, because consumers are concerned about fresh meat or chicken or anything that's perishable, and are stocking less of that and stocking more of our Lucky Star, which is fantastic.
240 million cans. Is that just in South Africa or worldwide?
No, that's in SADC countries. So we sell in all of the bordering countries, Zimbabwe, Botswana, Namibia, Mozambique. So that's the kind of SADC distribution of Lucky Star.
And the price inflation on the product, how does that compare with the inflation we saw in chicken and in red meat prices?
We've tried to manage that price inflation. So we've had effective about a 6% price inflation over the last year, which has been well below food inflation, which is running in double digit between 10 and 12% and CPI. And that's really to try and manage the affordability to our customers. We've also worked very closely with the trade, the likes of ShopRite, Checkers, Boxer, Pick and Pay, those groups. And they know, and we know, that promotion on Lucky Star pulls people into their stores. We've been very aggressive in promotions. Interesting, the stats lately show that 70% of basic food items are bought by the consumer on promotion. So people are no longer walking into a store with a shopping trolley, pushing it down the aisle and just choosing what they want. They look at broadsheets, what's on promotion and where it is, and they will shop according to those promotional specials that are being offered around the country. And Lucky Star, again, plays into that field.
It's a phenomenal brand, and it just shows you that fish is actually also a very big protein source for South Africans. Many people only refer to chicken as being the dominant one. Do you know what the difference in market share is?
Obviously, chicken, we own 85% of the canned pilchard market, but in the broader protein market, which we define as IQF chicken, eggs, polonies, and some other products, around 100 billion, we own around 6% of that market. Interesting. The egg market contributes 12% of that market. Eggs is a very big market, and eggs and chicken are under huge pressure because of load shedding and all the cost pushes. So they are under pressure to push prices up. Our view is if we can hold prices, we'll enjoy a share of that market. So we can try and take something away from IQF and eggs in particular.
Whenever we speak about fishing, the question of sustainability comes up. And of course, we are worried about the conservation of fish species in the world. Some are very overfished in a significant way. What is your perception of the sustainability of the South African fishing?
There's two species that are under threat. All of the other deep water species are well managed by DAF. There isn't this view that there are foreign vessels fishing in our waters is nonsense. There are no foreign vessels that are fishing in our water. The South African fishing industry is well managed, with the exception of West Coast rock lobster, the kreef that you know that exists. That, unfortunately, is being poached, and that's a sign of the economic times in this country, and it's very difficult because we have such a wide coastline. DAF really don't have the ability to put enough inspectors on the coast. And then the other one, which everyone knows about, is abalone. But the rest of the species are fairly well managed. Our hake species in this country is subscribed to a sustainability standard called MSC, which we get audited every year, and it is certainly a sustainable fishery. So South Africa is a leader in the world of sustainability, with the exception of those two species.
Yeah, that is good to hear. Just your fresh fish part of the business, I must imagine that is quite cyclical, because weather patterns, I would imagine, change fishing patterns where they actually are available in oceans. Is that a difficult thing to mitigate, to try and find the fish given changing climate?
That's always a problem. You know, you can't contract with the sea. So it's not only fishing conditions, it's climate change, it's El Nino, La Nino, it's current. What we try and do over the years is when there are fish there, maximize the catch. Generally, we catch all of our quota and it is well managed, but it's not easy. That's part of being in a fishing business. You've got to manage that fishing. We obviously improve technology. We've got vessels that are bigger that can fish in deeper waters or in higher swells, but that's an ongoing issue. And that's part of the cycle of fishing. One of the strengths of Oceania is that we have multiple businesses. So we're in multiple countries, multiple geographies, multiple currencies, and multiple species. And not all of them align at the same time, but generally we have more aligned than in a trough. So that's one of the beauties of our performance, is that we have a balanced view.
You have 53 vessels. How big are they? Are they perhaps the same than the vessels you see in something like the Deadliest Catch?
Some of them are. We've got a range from vessels, small little lobster vessels, which are 12 meters and have a crew of six, to a vessel that is bigger than those things you see in Deadliest Catch, which is 110 meters, got a crew of 120. That's a midwater trawl vessel. Those Deadliest Catch will carry a crew of 10, 15. On our biggest vessel, which is the Desert Diamond, it has a crew of 110 people and it goes out for a month. So it ranges from different sizes, depending on the species. A typical vessel that you'll know is if you go into P and you see the lights out at night, the chocker vessels, calamari. Now that's a 30-meter vessel and carries 25 people, and those will go out for 2 weeks. So we have a complete mix of vessels depending on the species we catch.
Do you catch fish in the Bering Sea or in Alaska?
No, we don't. No. We catch in the Gulf of Mexico in our American operation. We catch down in New Orleans. Our factory is on the Mississippi, the head office in New Orleans. And we have 12 vessels there fishing. And we catch 200,000 tons of a species called menhaden. That all goes into fish meal and oil. It's not a human consumption fish. And that goes to either the pet food market in the U.S. or the Scandinavian salmon farms, which is where the oil goes. So we have a range of species, and that's, again, I come back to the diversity of Oceania and the strength of Oceania. We're not in one species, and if that species suffers, the company suffers. We have the balance of various diversity.
Yeah, I've looked at your share price today and it didn't really move. And in fact, it's only 5% higher than a year ago. How does it feel to report profit jump of 75% and the share price remains pretty pedestrian?
You and I share the same view. It is about consistency. We come through a year. The market is tough at the moment. I think, obviously, we believe our share price should be higher. We're looking at another good year coming going forward. We've carried some healthy stocks over into 2024, both on Lucky Star and on the oil. So we've got a good start, and hopefully the market will recognize that and value it into the share. That's obviously the drive consistently to just get that share price up and see the value.
Neville, baie dankie vir jou tyd. Dit was Neville Brink. Hy is die uitvoerende hoof van Oceana.
Jy het geluister na RSG Geldsaake met Money Web Potgoe elke weeksdag om 7 na middag. Vir meer Money Web Potgoe, besoek moneyweb.co.za of laai die toepassing af en volg MoneyWeb News om dagliks op hoogte te bly.